May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 894. The Saviour empties whom he fills, and quickens whom he slays. Our legal hope he kindly kills, to teach us gospel praise. Hymn 894. Our reading from God's holy word is from the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 31. The prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 31, and we'll read down to verse 26. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord. The people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchmen upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion, unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears. For thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice, and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all the cities thereof together, husbandmen, and they that go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word to our souls and help Benji to pray.
O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come and grant us true prayer. O leave us not to think and call it prayer. Lord, we would that thou wilt indite it in our hearts, prayer that thou wilt hear and that thou wilt answer. For Lord, we come once more, poor, wretched, undone sinners. We confess our wretchedness before thee, O Lord, our unbelief and our coldness before thee. O Lord, and often forget thee, but Lord, we come once more, praying for mercy, praying that thou will appear this night and grant us a word for our souls to do us good. O Lord, something to bring us to know thee, to know that thou art our Saviour and our Redeemer. O Lord, to bring us each into that right way, to seek thee, to seek the Lord Jesus as our friend, that friend of sinners, that who alone can do us good. O Lord, do then have mercy upon us and appear this night as we seek thee. We pray that thou wilt come and use thy word, that thou wilt make it effectual in the hearts of sinners. O Lord, that there might be those things that we can take home, that we can beat out, that will truly do us good, and that will bring forth that praise, honour and glory unto thy name, that we each might know thee as a precious Jesus. the one who alone can cleanse us from all our sins. Oh, we do pray then that we might know that cleansing blood applied to our souls. Oh, Lord, do make us clean. Prepare us for that never-ending eternity. For, Lord, we're fast hastening on. Oh, time does flee away. We know not how long we have here below, but oh, to be ready. Oh, to be found in Thee, watching and waiting. Oh, Lord, we pray then if Thou wilt grant us a true blessing, that we might know, as we have even read this night, that I have loved Thee with an everlasting love. Oh, Lord, what a greater blessing can we seek? We pray then that Thou wilt remember us for good. We pray that Thou wilt remember each one gathered here this night, for Thou knowest the needs of each one. Oh, Lord, those with those temptations of Satan, we pray that Thou wilt come and make that way of escape, and that Thou will enable them to bring these things unto Thee, to cast them before Thee. Those requiring direction, O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt come and appear. Direct them in the right way. Keep them looking unto Thee, seeking Thy mercy. O Lord, we pray then for Thy servant that we had hoped to be here this day. Thou knowest where he is in his deep distress and trial. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt draw near to him and his wife. O Lord, that Thou wilt help them each through at this time, and that they each might truly know that Thou art near. O, do help them through and be with each one. And O Lord, we pray for each one here. O Lord, do have mercy upon us and remember us for good. We pray that Thou wilt be with us in this service, and Lord, that there might be those things to praise Thy name. We pray that Thou wilt be those that can come and tell what Thou hast done, that they might be enabled to speak of a precious Jesus, their Saviour and their Redeemer. O Lord, do help them then, we pray, that there might be praise to Thy name, that this church here might be built up. Lord, these things are with Thee, the power is Thine. We pray then that Thou wilt come and work in each heart. O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt remember this nation. O Lord, Thou knowest our need at this time, the things that are before us. We pray that Thou wilt guide and direct, and Lord, that it might be Thy will that's done. Have mercy upon us. Deliver us from all the evils and the snares around us. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt curb that influence of that wicked one. Oh, that Thou wilt turn the hearts of our rulers unto Thee, and bring them to truly seek Thee and look to Thee, even at this time. Oh, Lord, that we might be enabled to trust in Thy name. Oh, how we need Thee to come and give us that true and living faith, that we might look to Thee in all these things, in all our impossibilities. For, Lord, nothing is too hard for Thee. Do then have mercy upon us and remember us for good. O Lord, we pray for those with those special things before them. O Lord, those hoping to get married. We pray that Thou wilt go before them and guide and direct their steps aright, O Lord, even as we heard this morning. And Lord, we pray for Thy servant we expect tomorrow. O Lord, do help and strengthen James, if it can be Thy will, and bring him to us with that message for us. O Lord, we pray for each of Thy servants, that Thou wilt prosper Thy cause, and Lord, that Thou will enable them each to speak in Thy name. O Lord, do remember us then in mercy, and go before us each. O, do help us now, and have mercy upon us, as we seek these things, for Thy great name's sake. Amen.
hymn number 187. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet resistless grace, causing them to hear his call and before his power to fall. Hymn 187. I'll try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Gerald Buss. You will find the text in the 12th verse of the chapter we read. That is Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 12. The prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 12. And these four words, therefore they shall come. It must have been a precious time for God's servant Jeremiah to be given the truths and the promises and the prophecies of this chapter. So much of the ministry of the dear man was to pull down and to pluck up and to cast away. He was a sword in God's hand against the sins of the day. And he had to prophesy long that the captivity would come. And it did come, and he suffered much for it. Sometimes in prison, one time in a dungeon. He is rightly called the weeping prophet. And yet he was not always on the low note. And this precious chapter was a time, no doubt, when the Lord lifted up the light of his countenance upon his dear servant Jeremiah, and not only comforted his heart and turned his mourning into joy, but also for the people of God, the true living people of God, the believers in his generation. Here the prophet is given a twofold view. First of all, of the return of the children of Israel from captivity when the 70 years were accomplished. Then these four words would take place. Not before, not until the rod had done its work. Not until God's time came. But then, when God's time did come, therefore they shall come, it is one of the shells of the eternal Godhead here. And as we read in Isaiah 43, I will work, and who shall let it? Thus we read in the previous verse, the hand of him that was stronger than them. The Babylonians and the Chaldeans had strong hands, strong arms, keeping their captives, and they could not escape. But when God's time came, the grip was loosed and the doors were opened. And you can read how amazingly in the time of Cyrus they were encouraged to return, and the nation once more began to enjoy the comforts of the promised land that God had given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But all this, of course, is a type of the gospel, of the Lord bringing captives to himself. And we want to look at it in that light this evening. Here is a gospel word. Therefore they shall come. Oh, what a mercy if you and I are bound up in these four words. I think of the words of our Lord in John chapter 12. Wonderful words of gospel. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. That is the message in our text this evening. It is the effect of the gospel, the effectual call, the sovereign grace, or sin abounding. It is God plucking brands from the burning, taking stones out of the quarry of nature and saying, they shall come. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, we may notice later, redeemed Jacob and ransomed his people when he hung and bled and died on the cross at Calvary. And that blood is liberating blood. It is the blood of the covenant. And the covenant must be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. And thus all those for whom the dear Saviour laid down his lovely life, those for whom he groaned and sweat and bled and wept, why, dear friends, they must come. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He shall not be completely satisfied in the deepest sense, until the last sinner is called by grace, prepared for glory, and gathered home. Then he will say to his dear Father, "Behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. Therefore they shall come." We shall take our text from these four words, beginning with the word "they." And then we shall look at the word "come." And thirdly, at the word "shall." And fourthly, the "therefore," the reason why they shall come. In the previous verses, the Lord, through Jeremiah, speaks of his people as a flock and himself as a shepherd. This is a wonderful description of the relationship there is between the Lord Jesus Christ and his dear people. In the New Testament, in three different ways, he is described in this relationship. He is spoken of as the Good Shepherd. "I am the Good Shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And no greater goodness could ever have been displayed than when he laid down his life for his sheep. And so we have it in the latter part of this very verse. "They shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. Like those hastening to the fountain, they will be coming to the fountain opened at Calvary's cross to drink deeply of the water of salvation, the blood and righteousness of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ." He is the Good Shepherd, good in the laying down of his life, and good in all his dealings with them. He never makes a mistake. He never errs. There is no misjudgment, no miscalculation in any of his dealings. They are all under his rod, and it is a kind rod. It is a loving rod. It is a fruit-bearing rod, yes. "I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." That is a mercy, isn't it? The covenant is like a fold, and there the dear shepherd stands at the door of the fold and counts his sheep one by one. In the eastern fold, there is only room for one sheep to go through at a time. It is personal, particular care over each sheep, and he counts them, numbers them. They pass under the rod. He raises it over each sheep as it goes in. The covenant, dear friends, is like the fold that encloses them. Blessed enclosure this. It is the great sheet knit at the four corners, which is another type of it. So he is the Good Shepherd. Secondly, he is the Great Shepherd. For after all, they are great wanderers. The sheep are great strayers. They have gone into all the four corners of this earth and wandered and strayed from the things of God and the principles of his holy law and trampled underfoot his precepts. Oh, what wanderers they are! But he is such a great shepherd. He knows where to find them. He knows how to search them out, knows what to send to bring them to their spiritual senses, and he will find them. I will both search my sheep and seek them out, he says in Ezekiel, and he will find them. When a child is born again, then they begin to pray. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Is there anyone here praying like that tonight? Lord, search me out. Find me, Lord. Bring me in. May I be among these coming sinners, these coming sheep? They have a great shepherd, and he has a great hand to rescue them, a great arm to enfold them, and great purposes for them. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. He has great love for them, as we read earlier in this very chapter. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He is great in every attribute, great in his grace, great in his mercy, great in his goodness. He is a great shepherd, and greater than all that would oppose. Thirdly, we are told he is the chief shepherd. That is, he has the preeminence. He has under-shepherds, and the under-shepherds are under his divine control. They go where the Lord sends them, and they are there as long as the Lord ordains them to be. But he is the chief shepherd, and like John the Baptist, they would say, I must decrease, and he must increase. Our desire is that sinners do not look at us, but look through the word of God to a precious Christ and see no man save Jesus only. Well, these then are the descriptions of the shepherd, and he has this flock, they, which are given to him by his heavenly Father in the covenant of grace ere time began. They are born on the face of this earth in the image of Adam, with fallen natures, wandering on the way to hell, until that appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace, to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. What a mercy there is such a God as that. No sheep would ever come but for that divine purpose in the heart of the good and the great and chief shepherd. They shall come. So here is the first thing then. We have a flock. And in verse 10 we are told they had been scattered, but not beyond the eye or the reach of the good shepherd. If you go to the Brecon Beacons and you walk among the hills, there you see sheep. And they are not together very often. They are scattered, some on this hill and some on that. They all belong to one flock, but you wouldn't think so. There comes a time of year when they are all gathered together, taken down into the fields below when the winter comes. Then you see they are a flock, but they are to be gathered. The sheepdog has to do its work and bring them together. And the shepherd counts them and makes sure there is not one missing. Perhaps he sends the dog to some obscure place to find out if it might be there. Well, it is a picture, dear friends. Often God's people are a scattered people. Sin, affliction, difficulties seem to scatter them, and they become lonely sheep on hills and valleys. Then there comes a time when the Lord gathers them. He gathers them together. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd and gather the lambs in his arm and gently lead those that are with young. And here we come to this word, come. They shall come. Where to? The shepherd. That is where they will come. And you read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, a prayer, one of the many precious prayers in the Song of Solomon. If you read through that mysterious book, you will find some most precious prayers. If you have life in your soul, you will understand what Solomon meant when he uttered those prayers. And here is one of them. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Why should I be such a lonely one, Lord, an out of the way one, not part of a flock? I desire to be numbered among thy people, numbered with thy flock. The margin reading is when she says, why should I be as one that turneth aside, is one that is veiled. And some of you will know, of course, it is evident in our day where these Middle Eastern customs are coming to our very land. In some cities, some of the women, they wear a veil, a complete veil, and they can only lift it up to those they know intimately. Well, look at that in the light of things spiritual. The Lord Jesus Christ lifts up the light of his countenance upon those he loves. Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon me and grant me thy peace, said the good psalmist. That is what the sheep want. They want a smile from the shepherd. They want an acknowledgement from him. They are among the sheep. They want to know they are one of his lambs, part of his fold, part of his flock. Rather than lose them, he shed his heart's blood. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. That is when the sun is hottest, when temptations are the greatest, when the difficulties are the most acute, when the sheep are the most weary. Ah, the shepherd finds a rock, and he hides them under the rock while the sun beats down until it recedes. And so, dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is that great rock in a weary land. Is it a weary land to you tonight? Weary of your sins, and weary of temptation, and perhaps weary in the way. You are not weary of the way of faith, but you are weary in it. Oh, it's a heavy path for you while you are here. Well, here is a great rock in a weary land. But the point I want to make is, our text says, they shall come. They will come to this rock. And Solomon goes on to give the answer. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. The shepherd's tents may be spoken of as the house of God, the ordinances, the word of God, prayer, praise, meditation, and so we may go on. But the footsteps of the flock is where the good shepherd has been. They never go before the shepherd. He always goes first. If you tread where the flock has trod, you are treading where the shepherd has trod. Ah, you might not see him yet as you would like to. He seems to be at a distance. But if you are treading where the sheep have trod, then you are treading where the shepherd has trod. Well, they shall come. Blessed word this. The spiritual magnet of the gospel draws them. They are allured by his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I think it was in a sheep market in Australia many years ago, a man lost two of his sheep among the thousands of sheep that were being auctioned that day. And he said to the auctioneer, I want my two sheep back. Who said to him, well, you will never find them among this huge number of sheep. He said, I will. And he made a peculiar noise as he did with his flock. And he just waited. And within about 5 minutes, first one from one direction and the other from the other direction came to him. So it is with the sheep of Christ's fold. They hear his voice. It is an alluring voice. There is no voice like it. There is no voice like the voice of the Good Shepherd. It is a loving voice. It is a tender voice. It is an understanding voice. It is a voice, dear friend, that always allures and draws. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. It brings them into this word, come. And they come to the shepherd. What for? All the shepherd has to give them. He finds the pasture for them. He finds the water for them. He finds the shelter for them. He is their security. He is their safety. That is why they come. So spiritually, dear friends, you go to the Good Shepherd for pasture, for the food of the gospel, something for your never-dying soul out of the holy word of God. You come to the streams of the gospel, there to drink deep in the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. And you come, dear friends, because you want his presence and you want his security. You want to be under his care. They shall come. This come is a blessed word. And dear friends, if ever the Holy Spirit has written that word in your heart and soul with power, as only he can, he will never say depart in that great day when he calls his sheep to his right hand. He won't say depart to one he has said come. No. If you have got a come in your religion, not one you stole, but one you felt the power of under the Holy Spirit's sacred influence, then, dear friends, he will never say depart. He is not in two minds about the matter. When he said come, what did he say? I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That is what he was saying. It is all in that word come. Everlasting love. Ah, what a blessed truth this is. They shall come. Love has redeemed his sheep with blood, and love will bring them home to God. Not all the wanderings of her heart can make his love from them depart. Oh, that we would be coming sinners, coming to the throne of grace, coming to the word of God, coming to his house with eager appetites, not to mark the sermon out of 10, but to get something for our never-dying soul. Do you come like that? They shall come. Now the next little word we should look at is shall. The shalls of God's holy word are as strong as God himself. I have often thought about that word of providence to Elijah when the Lord said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee, he said. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. It shall be. And that shall sustained him for many weeks and months by the little brook Cherith till it dried up. It sustained him. The word shall did it. Because the word shall has the honour of God in it, the authority of God in it, the power of God in it. It has the outstretched arm of God in it. They shall come. It shall be. Oh, how thankful we should be for the shalls and the wills of the gospel, fenced with Jehovah's shalls and wills, firm as the everlasting hills. Well, this is something for the sheep. They shall. And it is a word for those who are looking on, who are praying for those whom the Lord has laid on their heart to pray for. This is a mark of the flock of Christ when they are healthy. They travail for others. And God lays on the heart of one and another ones to pray for, ones to pray about. And if God has laid it there, you won't be able to throw it off, dear friends. It will be a burden to you, and you will have to plead this word. Lord, it says, they shall come. If the Lord has laid that burden upon you to pray for another, then keep praying, dear friend, and plead this word. Because if he has laid it on you, then they shall come, however unlikely it may seem at the moment. But then I hear one say, It's not so much others, it's me. I see others coming, but what about me? Lord, I hear of showers of blessing, thou art scattering full and free. Showers the thirsty land refreshing. Let some drops now fall on me. Is there a blessing reserved for me? Can there, tell me, can there be among thy children room for me? I have been a wandering sheep, Lord. I have cost thee no doubt much, but nonetheless it is my earnest, longing, loving desire to be among those who shall come. Then you go back to the Song of Solomon and hear another prayer now. Here is a prayer for one of you tonight who longs to come. It has been your desire many, many a day. If only I could come. Well, listen, draw me, we will run after thee. As I have told you before, draw me a poor, wretched sinner. The we, it is you and the Blessed Spirit enabling you. Draw me, we will run after thee. What a mercy when the Lord helps his dear people to do that. It is such a privilege when the Spirit helps our infirmities. How can I come, some soul may say. I'm weak and cannot walk. My guilt and sin have stopped my mouth. I sigh, but dare not talk. The dear Spirit can bring you, and in his book, a sigh and a falling tear and a groan is a coming. The Lord marks it as such. Ah, has he seen that then in your case? Did anyone weep before they came to the house of God tonight? And the Lord saw it. He said to Hannah, I have seen thy tears. He said it to Hezekiah too. And they were coming sinners, weren't they? They had a burden, they had a case, and the Lord dealt with it. They shall come. Here is a word for you to plead, dear friends, for those of you longing to come. And what about you, or us, I should say, who humbly trust we have come in days gone by? Whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. But oh, what strange places we get into. What mountains come between us and the Lord. What sins, what backslidings, what weariness. How we get scattered with troubles and trials. What a word to plead. They shall come. The Lord can bring back his dear people. One look, one touch, one smile. He can renew favours long since experienced. I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you orphans. In verse 9, they were a scattered people like orphans. But I'll not leave you like that. He says, I will come to you. Now that is a blessing, isn't it? That is the other way round, isn't it? Wonderful thought that. When we cannot come to him, he can come to us. The good Samaritan came where the man who had fallen among thieves was, lying half dead. He came where he was. The man couldn't move. His life was ebbing away. He heard the footsteps of the Levite and the priest. Surely they would help. But no, they had nothing in their hand for a case like his. But the Good Samaritan didn't come empty-handed. And friends, he won't come empty-handed to you. He will have the oil and the wine of the gospel. He will bring it. Oil and wine to heal and cherish, Jesus still to Israel gives. Nor shall e'er a sinner perish who in his dear name believes. They shall come. This is a good word, isn't it? But sometimes, what does the Lord have to bring to make us come? For we do not come by nature, do we? The woman of Canaan with the afflicted daughter. That is what made her come. The Lord put that in her home to make her a coming sinner. It was so also in a different way with the woman with the issue of blood. It was so with the dying thief. The Lord gave them something to bring them, to drive them, to bring them to himself. He bids affliction drive us home to anchor on his grace. Don't quarrel with what the Lord has sent to make you a coming sinner. The flesh may not like it, but destroy it not. For a blessing is in it. Destroy it not, dear friend. A blessing is in it. Good will come out of it. Out of the strong comes forth sweetness. Out of the eater comes forth meat. Therefore they shall come. The Lord knows what to send to you and me. Coming sinners, returning sinners, repenting sinners, believing sinners, loving sinners, praying sinners, receiving sinners. Bless his holy name for it. Therefore they shall come. And then we have the first word of our text, therefore. The reason why they shall come. And there are many reasons we would just hint at this evening to encourage you in this matter. But it is a divine therefore. And the first reason is a very simple one, a very precious one. God has said it. What Christ has said must be fulfilled. On this firm rock believers build. His word shall stand, his truth prevail, and not one jot or tittle fail. Friends, if you have got a thus saith the Lord this evening behind you, then you are in the therefore. Sooner all nature shall change, as one of God's promises fail. Have you got a therefore in the word of God tonight? To plead. Again, therefore, is for this reason why they should come. It is not for God's honour and glory that his people should always be a scattered flock, that they should always be hidden under the mountains and the briars and the ditches. No, that is not for God's honour and glory. He is determined. They shall come. Then again, as we read here, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Yes, there are those things that are stronger than us. Our sins. Our heart sins are stronger than us. Our temptations are stronger than us. The world is stronger than us. The law with its demands is stronger than us. And those strange places we get into, those deep troubles and fiery trials, are all stronger than us. But what did the Lord say here? He has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Until the Lord comes, the grip of the hand that is stronger than us holds us fast. We cannot loose ourselves from it. When the Lord says, "Loose him and let him go," then all powers must yield before him. That is the power of the blood of Christ, the power of the love in that precious blood. It causes all opposers to the soul to yield. Bless God for it. Therefore they shall come, because of the shed blood of Christ, because of what it does when he presents it before his heavenly Father at the throne of God, even this very evening hour. You see the power of it in Revelation 7. That vast congregation gathered that never breaks up, enjoying the Sabbath that never ends, an innumerable company. We read, "These are they which came out of great tribulation," just as we see in the context here, "and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, because of that precious blood, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple." Because of the blood. Without that blood, they would never have been there. And that is why the anthems and the doxologies and the praises in heaven all seem to center on the name the Lamb. And the blood of the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Oh, the crowns that are on his head. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head. My God, my portion, and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction, and despair. You go to Revelation chapter 1, and John gets that glimpse of the great I Am in a precious Christ on the Isle of Patmos. Those doxologies came forth in that same chapter. Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, be glory. And the original Greek has it, loosed us from our sins. It is the blood that looses. It answers the claims of the law. The law says, "I'm satisfied. Let that sinner go." And not only does it do that, dear friends, but it conquers the very things that put us under the curse of the law, our fallen nature, this dying world, a tempting devil. Oh, the blood has conquered those. So we read of those in glory. They overcame by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they shall come. And the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of his Father. In a very wonderful way, this word is being fulfilled in the coming sinner coming to the mercy seat and finding mercy. But one by one, he is gathering his dear people to join the spirits of just men made perfect. Father, I will that all they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Oh, what a coming that is! That final coming, we might say, of the child of God into eternal bliss. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. They shall come. Oh, that shall, dear friends, will carry you safe home over Jordan. You won't be lost in that last river when that last enemy does his worst. This will carry you safely through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Therefore they shall come. Only four words, but what there is contained in those four words, these are the certainties of the gospel we preach. This is the sureness of it. This is the security of it. And all the blessings of the gospel flow from these four words. Therefore, they shall come. There is no uncertainty here. No uncertain sound. Not maybe or perhaps. They shall come. God has decreed it. God has determined it. Therefore they shall come. Give this great God no rest, dear friend, till you have the witness in your heart that you are also amongst these coming sinners, drawn, favoured, blood-washed sinners, who will one day join the anthems of the redeemed above in the perfect church. There are no sorrows and no tears, and nothing to disturb the equanimity and peace of that blessed company above. God grant that we may soon reach it. Said one, the time is now fixed, and soon it will come, when Christ will his messenger send to fetch you from Meshech and carry you home. And then all your sorrows shall end. May God add his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £690, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pack is expected to preach tomorrow evening, and Mr. Wheatley next Lord's Day, and our friends at Oakington hold their anniversary service on Wednesday. And next Lord's Day there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 940. Compared with Christ in all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. 940.
for the cries of another soul. We do pray thy blessing upon our services here tonight. For all do bless thy own. Oh, do grant us some meditation upon what we have. May it not be all forgot. And Lord, we do pray that, oh, that thou wilt grant the signs for the preaching of thy word. Lord, do enable one and another to count what thou hast done for them. So, Lord, do be with us now. Be with us, Lord, as we go into the world. Oh, thou knowest all that lays before each one. We pray for thy help, journey in mercies, and health and strength for them. Lord, do prepare us for thy word. Pray that thou come up thy servant on them. Lord, give him that to bring before. And we do pray, may prove to them one of thy divine appointments. Remember thy servant, Lord, absent from us today. Oh, do be with him undertake, Lord, in his name. And oh, do be very near to them this time. Be with us now as we part, forgive our every sin.